we have a whole ecosystem that helps empower both buyers, you know, the engineers, the designers, as well as the supplier side.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Robot Industry Podcast. My name is Jim Beretta and I'm your host. And I'm excited to introduce Greg Paulson. Greg leads the application engineering team at Xometry, a global on-demand manufacturing marketplace. With 14 years of experience in advanced manufacturing, Greg's expertise includes additive manufacturing, machining, sheet metal, injection molding, casting, and quality assurance. Greg, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Jim.
Hey, Greg, can you tell us a little bit about the company? And are you a public company? How many employees you have? Where you're located?
Yeah, so if we were chatting a few months ago, I'd have a different answer. It's very, very exciting because Xometry, so it's X-O-M-E-T-R-Y, we actually just went public. So right at the end of June. And it's just super exciting for all of us. But the company was founded in late 2013, really started making parts for customers in 2014. And actually, I was, you know, early on with the company where the entire company could sit at a table, you know, and have our morning meetings at like all hands on deck, whether you're the direct manufacturer or business development, et cetera. And now we're over 500 strong and global. We have European locations. We have locations scattered across the United States, even Asia. It's just really exciting to see how far we've gone.
Well, that's really interesting. And where is kind of the head office in North America?
So where everything began was in Gaithersburg, Maryland, which is pretty close to where I am right now. We also have, through an acquisition of a company called MakeTime, we have a HQ down in Lexington, Kentucky, and then the German location for Xometry Europe, which was actually another acquisition of a company called Shift at that time.
So you've been with the company for like 7 or 8 years now, so right? You say since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, it's been really fun.
And you've had lots of jobs, right? So you're right now in technical marketing. What else have you done there?
So first off, the first job when you're in any startup company is everybody's job is sales. Let's just get that started. No matter what your title is, everybody's job is sales. And I came from a background of rapid manufacturing product development, working among product development engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, and I was able to bring the empathy of needing to get stuff and also my experience of actually making stuff and speak with our customers. So I began with business development. I've moved into roles of both on the operational side because I'm also a operator where I've ran machines in the past, including advanced additive manufacturing platforms, as well as working with sales, pre-sale application engineering, product management. So it helped launch some materials, which has been really fun, like launching a stereolithography, multi-jet fusion, other technologies to our platform, recently X1's binder jet metal process. And now I'm in marketing, but it's an interesting marketing role because it's not the typical marketing role. It's more about making sure that the stuff that we make, that we put on our website, is useful for customers. Like, I'm looking to design a CNC machining part. We don't want a Wikipedia article about what is CNC machining. I mean, that's good for SEO and all, but we want something that makes you make a better decision. You know, design tips, design guidance, saving costs, reducing costs on CNC machining. The things that will help you design better, hopefully get a better pricing on the designs that you're uploading to our site, right? Because it's more optimized for manufacturing and just better results in the long run for those. And, you know, not everybody knows a dozen manufacturing processes back and forth. So we try to build resources available for those customers.
And we, in the pre-call, we talked a little bit about Xometry being a little bit like Uber to the taxi cab industry, mm-hmm. where you're matching industry like manufacturers to end users, and that's kind of the bottom line, right?
Yeah, it's putting technology right at this procurement process. And what's really exciting about Xometry is it removes a lot of headaches there. So when your typical engineer or someone or manufacturer trying to get a custom part, you're usually kind of fishing. You're shooting a bunch of RFQs, requests for quotes around, and you're waiting for responses from individual suppliers. And when you get those results back, you see often varying lead times and wildly differentiated prices, and you don't really know why. And you're just stuck trying to make a decision based off like a limited amount of knowledge. So it's typically a opaque industry. We actually use machine learning and AI as part of our technology to predict and create actionable pricing when you upload a 3D file. So instead of this long wait, it's literally you upload your 3D model, pricing is available in seconds, and you can configure your part. You'll see your price and lead times update, change your quantities, pricing lead times updates according to the process, and you press buy. So the matchmaking is kind of this digital magic that we do on the tail end, but we essentially do the whole supply chain for you, and you just go to one space through Xometry.com.
So let's use an example, I think, for the audience. So I need 1,000 shafts. They're precision grind shafts, maybe a little bit more expensive tool. I upload the CAD file to Xometry, and you do the matchmaking to know who's got the capabilities, what the likely price is going to be, and then you go to your customers and say, "Hey, who wants to bid on this?" Is that how that works?
It's not a bid system. So this is not like a typical bid program where a supplier may sign up for Xometry and pay like a pay a subscription fee in order to get these opportunities. It's not like that at all. The way that we work is we price using our experience or knowledge and instantly upfront. So when you upload that shaft model, you may be configuring the part to your needs. So you put in the quantity that you require. It'll probably already default to machining. We have some interesting process predictors that actually compute the geometry and have a good, pretty strong guess of what process you designed this for. But you may move to an alloy steel, and you can select that, see how your pricing changes. Maybe if you have a tighter surface finish, for example, you can select a smoother surface, tighter tolerances, upload your technical drawing. All that gets incorporated, and it's instantly available for quotes. Even adding things like inspection reports, certs, that type of stuff. When you press buy, like we don't have the match made yet, but we know that we have a diverse enough network. We have a network of thousands of capable manufacturers, so we know we have high amounts of parallel capacity and parallel talent for that type of work. So when you press buy, it's all Xometry in, all on the Xometry side. And then that's when our matchmaking goes into play, where it actually will show that job and what we're paying that supplier for on the supplier side. So they see essentially a job board. And they're able to take a look at that, understand the specs of the job, understand what they're going to get paid, the lead time required, and say, hey, you know what? That's an awesome fit for me. Boom, take it. And they get an instant purchase order for it. Work on demand. But if they don't need it, they could pass. There's no obligations there. We have other suppliers. And so, when you talk about something that's pretty generic, like a turned down piece, for example, like so that would be like CNC turning typically to make a shaft component, there may be about 1,000 suppliers capable for that. Our goal is to match those with those who have done work like that in the past, and those who are just their sweet spot is like making that type of work. But we have so much redundancy that you could give me 100 jobs today, and I could get them all starting to build tomorrow, which is really exciting.
So your value proposition a little bit is, hey, I've got this CNC machine that's not fully utilized. Hey, I've got this job company. Maybe I've got some stuff happening in my factory. I could actually fill this machine for the next 2 days by taking this job off Xometry. So that's kind of your value prop on the manufacturing side, yes?
Yeah, there's some really fantastic things for our suppliers. For the most obvious of what you're talking about there is that work on demand. So, if the spindles are turning, they're not happy, and there's a lot of downtime in shops because they need to find and search for those jobs or wait for those RFQs. And just like we talked about that problem when people are trying to search and RFQ out, they're often getting stuff that doesn't match what they really like to do first off, anyways, or it may not be right in their sweet spot. So that's why they may be pricing high for certain work. Because we use this machine learning AI to actually help matchmake, the stuff that comes through Xometry's job board is usually right there. It's right where they like to make those parts. And so that could be like a brass turn part, or if they're a sheet metal fabricator, certain type of fabricated work. And they'll be able to take that work on demand, filling up their capacity. There are also some other really fantastic things from our supplier marketplace side. So we have financial services, for example. We're able to help with cash flow. So say they take a $10,000 job, a supplier instantly gets up to 30% of that freed up in order to buy raw material supplies and stuff. So you essentially have a $3,000 line of credit that you can use to get materials without having to drop cash flow, which may be very important for payroll, for example.
Right.
You know, we're talking about small business manufacturing. So we have a whole ecosystem that helps empower both buyers, you know, the engineers, the designers, as well as the supplier side.
So if I'm a buyer and I need this shaft and I need 1,000 units, and I don't actually know who the manufacturer is, right? Like it's Xometry. How do I know about the quality? What happens in there?
Yeah, so Xometry, we back the quality of all the products that we make. So we are an AS9100 ISO 9001 company. We have, you know, our standard operations manual. If there's a non-conformance or RMA, like return material authorization, we're able to run through those processes, and we have options too, right? So we could actually figure out if this is a rework, remake. If there's a critical issue, we're able to hopefully proactively tackle it, so you don't even see it. It just magically, you know, your parts just magically arrive on your door next Tuesday. But even if something goes wrong, we're there to work through it. Actually, the Gaithersburg facility where we're founded has moved mostly into a quality assurance facility because we are not making parts there directly. What we have is we have the expert teams of machinists, often, you know, 20, 30, 40 years experienced machinists who are now working in a quality assurance role or a consultative role, talking with our shops and suppliers to make sure that we're on track and on schedule. If they need any troubleshooting, we can just jump right into the CAM and help out. But we have, you know, CMM, virtual CMM, digital comparators, every manual tool you could engage you could possibly imagine because of the diversity of work we have that all there as well. So a lot of work in secondary inspections, especially the more critical work that, you know, work that may be going into space, for example.
So you've kind of suggested you're set this price, the quality kind of is guaranteed. So the real secret in the business is really the AI engine and the analytics because you now know a lot of what's happening in the world in manufacturing. You know who's doing what for whom, who's buying, and it's a very interesting value proposition.
Absolutely, it's all something that we could train on. So our pricing, you know, it's predictive market based pricing is what we call it, and our goal is to be accurate. We want the pricing when you upload your parts to the site to be competitive, as if you're working with a local shop that loves to do that type of work. If it's average pricing, that means 50% of the shops are more competitive than you. That's not our goal, right? We're always trying to aim for that sweet spot pricing because we have suppliers on our network able to do that. But the beauty of this, you know, while using this machine learning tool is you can take a simple bracket, upload it, get an instant price. It's usually probably going to be cheap and quick. But you can also take a multi-axis, like a fifth axis component, spec'd out the wazoo, tight tolerances everywhere, you know, 86 threads of tapped holes, 14 helicoil inserts. Let's make it out of titanium and then give it titanium anodized. And I need CMM report and all these certs. Mm-hmm. And it's all checkboxes. And your quote updates automatically, and it's just really amazing the first time you experience the platform. And this is a free platform. It's something we even have a free CAD add-in. So if you're designing in SolidWorks or Inventor or Fusion 360, you can access Xometry tools with apps that you could actually just, you know, quote while you're in your browser.
So what happens in the algorithm if, let's say, we order the shaft and the commercial price is $1 and you said your engine says, hey, it's 50 cents. How does that correction made?
Well, we're still humans, right? So we're able to take a look at processes. I'll give it a good example. Say that shaft has a spline to it.
Yeah.
Or a feature that is atypical, or it's, you know, or maybe you could buy a spline shaft, but that's not an intuitive thing, right? It's not, our computational geometry is probably looking at that and thinking it's a machine feature. For every material and process we have, there is an option to select custom and write in especially if there's something that's not there that doesn't auto quote, it doesn't mean we can't do it. You know, we have 3,000 shops in the US alone. We could definitely make parts. We have expert cost estimators, usually machining veterans or sheet metal veterans or molding veterans. And we're able to take a look at those, do manual reviews. Works well for price matching, especially when you start moving into those production quantities. That it's more than just pricing the parts. It's usually kind of engineering the supply chain. Like what type of delivery schedules are you looking for? What are your overall goals? And maybe even, when it comes to design for manufacturability, there may be small tweaks that could save you thousands of dollars that we'd be happy to suggest because it makes both parties happy, right? To be able to work with that, and maybe you'll remove a specialized tool, for example.
And do you do some work as well for the robotics industry, or just is it more general in industry in general, manufacturing?
We cast a very wide net, and robotics is definitely within that net. So one of the coolest things, and actually I'm working right now with some metal parts, and they're end effectors, right? Mm-hmm. So end effectors, end of arm tooling, the custom part of your generic, very cool robot, right? The thing that does, is touching the part or doing the handling. We have so many technologies that are available for that. Sometimes I see those as machine components or even like machine plastic for a softer touch, PTFE parts. But I also see a lot of 3D printing additive manufacturing in that area because you can just do some very specialized shapes super quickly, very cheap. And these materials aren't, tchotchke materials. They're not going to dissolve on you. We're building in real thermoplastics or metals. Via different additive manufacturing processes. We offer 8 unique additive manufacturing processes, and you're able to get results that you're looking for. So I really see that custom tooling as a very big part of robotics. Another interesting thing that I've seen also is sometimes we are the supplement to the shops. So the actual OEMs that are making these robotic platforms. A good example is a company that does a lot of linear actuators. They have, they're usually working in metric. And so the mounting plates may be in metric, like, M2 or M5 or something of that matter. And then they have these dang Yankee customers who will come in and ask for, imperial units. And they don't want to change their supply chain and their internal shop and their tooling setup for this. So they may use Xometry because we can do, spec-certed on-demand manufacturing and build these tooling plates in like lower supply and help supplement them without them breaking their current manufacturing habits. So that on-demand side is really, really important for the flexibility, even if you're a manufacturer yourself.
No, that's very exciting. One of the questions I was going to ask in your algorithm, how important is it to be geographically close to the end customer? Because shipping's a thing.
It's not as important as you would think, because next day air or second day shipping is still 2 days regardless of where you are location wise. We do look at geographic location in some of our schemes, especially on our marketplace side. It's something that you could actually go and help filter down. And we have this really interesting supply chain view from our side for monitoring things like tropical storms or natural events that may affect our supplier base. So we're always trying to be proactive with outcomes because we're managing thousands of projects concurrently at any given moment. And what's good for you is you don't need to worry about that because we're worried about it. We're taking care of that. But I will say this, so Xometry has a program called Go Green, and we're expanding this. Right now, we are providing gratis, so without cost to our customers, a carbon offset for any domestic shipping that we've done. I think we've expanded it out to international shipping as well. So we're trying to at least net zero the carbon offset by working and partnering with a company called Dark Neutral that is usually investing in, wind, solar, trees to help offset that. Ultimately, when you talk about a more diverse supply chain, when you talk about the goal also like the second bottom line of, being environmentally sustainable, for example, there's some really interesting things you may be able to do. And we have our eyes on this. And helping not just get you parts made and shipped with a supplier who loves to make that, but also, you know, hopefully help reduce the overall footprint that may happen there. And being a marketplace, we're in a really awesome position for something like that. So I'm really excited about Go Green and where we're going with that.
Well, that's very cool. So in kind of what you're seeing, you get to see some interesting trends. And I wonder if you could let the audience kind of in on some of those trends that you're seeing in manufacturing. Are you seeing more 3D printing come through Xometry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was in a very interesting position where I started my career because I was fortunate enough to be in a place where they were building end-use parts using additive manufacturing. And I started working in additive manufacturing around 2007. So 3D printing wasn't even like a normal term yet, but 3D printing at that point has still been around for a while in the industry, but it just wasn't popularized. So what's really cool about moving into Xometry is we're dealing with people who are making parts practically. These aren't tchotchkes, these are things that need to function. And our industrial additive manufacturing processes that we're offering help meet those needs. And each one has their own strengths and trade-offs to it. But for example, you know, highly commoditized processes like selective laser sintering, they're cheap and quick, but they're still actually extremely durable because you're building parts in, you know, in a nylon material. And I've noticed over the last decade, so even beyond working in Xometry, that percentage of parts that is either recurring or production parts of your total parts made has been growing and growing and growing. So it's not uncommon to, you know, see like a, you know, decent percentage of parts made in, you know, in our internal additive shop or across our manufacturing network as repeat orders and repeat work. So you're seeing that more and more both on the plastics and metal sides as trends in the industry where these are becoming acceptable as my final product. They're not, it's not just a prototyping tool. You know, I think as we add more interesting finishes to these technologies as well, we're enhancing what's already there. Xometry recently released vapor smoothing, which helps smooth out kind of the rough surface of 3D printed plastic parts. And what's great is it's a very utilitarian process. So it goes across many of our 3D printing processes. And just by adding that, you have parts that can very cheaply go from a kind of rough surface finish to something that is sealed, smooth, and more representative of molding without the tooling requirements. So I'm seeing more and more of that usage of the 3D product as an end-use part.
Thank you, Greg. One of the value propositions I see with Xometry is kind of time to market, right? Where I just don't have time to look at three or five or 10 quotations on my RFQ or RFP. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go to Xometry and I'm going to be able to get this stuff within a few days, possibly, or a week. Is that what you're finding too?
Yeah, absolutely. The ability to do diverse work with parallel capacity is just, it's magic for some folks. Actually, on the robotics industry, I'll say we're sponsoring, for example, a BattleBot, and you know, different than most your industry, but you know, robots destroying robots. But one of the BattleBots that we're sponsoring, you know, this one's Riptide. The designer and you know lead engineer there likes us because he knows how to make robots, but he doesn't know how to get stuff. You know how to he doesn't you know he's not a grizzled veteran of you know scarred with the failures after failures of supply chain. He's just trying to get parts made. Yes. And so we're just an easy button. And they're actually designing in a Fusion 360 product, which is you know, a CAD product, and they're just using the app. So they're just designing, clicking, buying, and continuing with their day. So it's very exciting for them because they don't need to be an expert in supply chain or procurement or know who's the right vendor. We take that work for them.
I listened to an interview about Xometry not too long ago, and I was fascinated to hear that some shops absolutely do like multi-hundred thousands of dollars with Xometry every year. So can you talk a little bit about how that sometimes can work?
Yeah, it's really cool. So shops can use us as much or as little as what fits them best. This is on-demand work. It's not force work. But some shops, especially shops that have a great amount of capacity, And a lot of them also have this interest in marketplace manufacturing, seeing how the trends are moving, where it's not just your own business development reps bringing in work, but being part of a marketplace like Xometry is exciting because it just happens and it's additional revenue. And we've seen some of our shops, especially shops that work with Xometry over time, as they build rapport, we have an internal success score and rating that our shops are able to see, and it's based on their quality, timeliness, and other factors that help kind of build this rapport. It unleashes some throttles, so that could be how much work you could take in parallel, and the revenue limits. And for some of them, the revenue limits are just sky high, so they could take work because we have built trust, rapport, and they've built this routine where they actually have, you know, work cells for Xometry and employees that are working because of the Xometry work that they're able to take on. And yeah, many of the suppliers can do over $1 million of work through Xometry annually, which is super exciting.
And they, as part of their workflow, they would, like, they're looking at their shop loading, and they see that next Friday we're kind of between jobs. Hey, it's Monday. Let's look and see what Xometry has. So they would check their Xometry account every morning, or do you email them, or how does that work?
So the job board's digital. It's something that you can't access through your browser or through your phone. In fact, it was actually one of the first pages that we adapted to be usable by phones, because we found a lot of machinists taking work are browsing Xometry, the job board. So it's not a daily check, and for a lot of them, it's too much of an addiction, I think. So we do have some pings and things that help and filters that help suppliers find what type of work they're looking for. So, you know, short-term work, long-term work, different revenue levels, different shapes, different processes, for example. But you find that the people who are really using Xometry from the supplier side tend to either have it on their phone, or like they have someone who's on the shop floor who's, you know, kind of has it always open in a tab, keeping an eye on the job board.
And so, what's kind of next for Xometry? I mean, you've kind of gotten into a lot of different areas, and 3D printing. Do you see 3D printing as a really a big growth area for you?
I think across the board, you know, 3D printing has so much potential. We just launched, you know, our 8th process for instant quoting. So we had, you know, again, a couple months ago, I would say we offer 7+ processes, and now we offer, you know, 8 processes. And our goal is to look more at these 3D printing processes, especially as the adoption is not just prototyping, but how can I put this into my production viable, my saleable product?
Yeah.
And I'm always keeping an eye on the industry. We have calls regularly with new suppliers, OEMs, and even our internal suppliers who have something really cool that they want us to be a marketplace for. And, you know, we vet and see how if it's good and mature enough to offer to our customers. Because on our side, our obligation too is our promise, right? We make parts on demand, and we have to deliver. We're not just selling a machine with marketing material. Like, you're going to get that part made in that platform. So we do a lot of vetting, but there's a lot of exciting stuff, especially with materials that when you build one or when you build 100, it's the same thing. So how can my prototype material and process also be end use viable? Like, direct metal printing is a great example of that, to be able to use those type of technologies. But even on the machining side, you know, just machining itself, like it has many, many layers to it. So how can you add more capabilities to our website? So things I mentioned before, like splines or, you know, gear hobbing, stuff that requires specialized tooling becomes much more of an automated experience.
So I put a little note to ask you this about frequently asked questions. So, you know, I've got a question. What are some of the questions that you get that your operators get, or maybe you get, about the platform and about how people are using it and such?
Yeah, so the biggest FAQ that I get is, can you make X, or can you machine an X, which is insert any material that you could think of, or a feature, can you make a feature that is X and insert whatever dimensions it is? Mm-hmm. The answer is probably. You know, we probably yes. And the biggest thing we want to see is that the 3D model. Like, upload the 3D model, we'll take a look at it. And even if it doesn't auto-quote, you could put that field in custom, and our team will take a manual review. If the natural supplier network or Xometry can actually find the raw material for it, and it's something that's readily machinable, we could probably make those parts. Like if this is a non-invented material or something like that, or we have to invent it, maybe not so because it's not commercially available. But just because we don't auto-quote it doesn't mean we can't do it. We have, 5,000 manufacturers globally, 3,000 within the United States. There's so much capability that Xometry could do. So we tend to be a go-to for those challenging projects, and we're also there for the simple stuff, there for the candy jobs, if you will. And I think those are like the biggest questions when stuff is coming in, because they see the digital experience and they think it's a smaller box than right. their go-to manufacturer of choice. And it's usually the opposite. We actually have more machine scale, from Swiss turning to gantry milling. We have those capabilities. So we're usually able to take on a much, much higher diversity of job than any individual organization could.
Greg, thanks for joining me today. Have we missed anything? Is there anything that I haven't asked you that I should have?
Just a reminder for the audience listening that we have so many awesome resources. So even if you're in between projects and you're just looking to learn about a subject, go to Xometry's website, look at the resources, download a design guide, check out a capabilities page. There's so much there to learn to become a better designer and be future ready for those projects coming up. And then the instant quoting's there for when you have the CAD design and you're ready to get going.
And so how can people get in touch with you? Should they go through the Xometry website? And you probably have to spell it again.
Yeah. So the best way to find Xometry is Xometry. So it's Xometry with an X. So Xometry.com. And we do have international audience. We also have a European division that'll be .eu for that. And also, I'm always happy to connect. Again, my name is Greg Paulson, and you can find me on LinkedIn. And I'm always happy to connect, talk shop, and make sure that we're up to date on the latest in the industry. So if there's anything exciting to talk about, I'm always happy to geek out.
Thank you, Greg. Our sponsor for this episode is Ehrhardt Automation Systems. Ehrhardt builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Ehrhardt can build for you. And Ehrhardt is Ehrhardt automation.com. I'd also like to thank and acknowledge our partner, A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading trade association in the world for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. I'd like to also thank our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing, and they can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify your marketing, sales, and operations. And they're at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for audio production, my partner, Janet, and our partners, A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Ehrhardt Automation Systems.